morning.
Good morning.
All right, I think I better use the mic because you guys are a long ways away out there. All right. So my book is full. There we go. I'll have to start a new book. Really what I'll do is turn it over and go backwards, but that's okay. So I heard a preacher on the radio recently telling about somebody who had taught him something that changed his whole life. And the guy said to him, if you take 15 minutes each day and spend 15 minutes praying and 15 minutes reading the Bible and 15 minutes talking to somebody about Jesus, every day, it'll change your life. And the preacher went ahead and did that. That was somebody who told him that in college. And it completely changed his life. And I think that's good advice for all of us. And it turns out 15 minutes is a long time. You can read a lot in the Bible in 15 minutes. You can read through the Bible in a year. The whole Bible in a year if you read 15 minutes every day. But it does take a little bit of persistence. You have to have a Bible with you. For me, I have to have a Bible in my car. That's the way I've done it. Because you get 15-minute breaks during the day at different parts. But spend that time. So today, what I'd like to do is spend time considering prayer. And the Bible has much to say about prayer. And we'll just take as our starting point, Jesus teaching us in John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Spurgeon has a whole sermon on this verse. And what he does is he says, think about the church. If we were full of people who were abiding in Christ and abiding in the Word of God, so that whatever they asked, God did it for them. Wow. That'd be a church. So, one of the themes today is that prayer is based on a relationship between man and God. And another theme is that prayer is continuous. So, we are constantly involved in our relationship with God and are communing with Him. We can study prayer in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And let's spend a little bit of time. You guys know I like words, so let's spend a little time in Hebrew and Greek. So in the Old Testament, God's people speak to Him, they call on Him, and they cry out to Him. There are a lot of words for prayer in the Bible. Pelal is usually translated to pray, and the word may emphasize a call to God to assess a need presented and act on it, or the dependence and humility of the one praying, or an appeal for a divine decision. And the related word, tepila, is the noun form. And these words occur over 160 times in the Old Testament. The words used in Numbers 21:7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. We see these words used of personal prayer and corporate prayer. The request for God to intervene is common. We see the words used for rejoicing, for thanksgiving, and for confession. 1 Samuel 2, verse 1 is Hannah's song of gratitude to God. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. This is an interesting word for prayer in Hebrew. It's the word nay. Okay? It's also, the related word is oh. So, there we go. It's a particle that is often translated, I pray, or we pray, and this is found 400 times in the Old Testament. And we see the word in Psalm 118:25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. The idea of prayer in the Old Testament is very common. Prayer is a simple act, and it's a comfort to believers. We turn to God with confidence, and we turn to God with faith. We trust that God hears us and that He answers us. Another word for prayer is atar, which means to pray or entreat. And it stresses the earnestness of the one praying and the intensity with which the prayer is made. And we all know that sometimes we pray more earnestly than other times. This is the word found in 2 Samuel 24:25. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. And we see here that David's prayers were accompanied by sacrifice. Sometimes we cry out to God in prayer, especially when we feel there's a dire need for God's intervention. Anybody cried out to the Lord lately with a dire need? There we go. Now the common verb se'al occurs over 170 times in the Old Testament and means to ask or to inquire, to ask someone for something. It can be used to ask a person or to inquire of the Lord, asking for direction and guidance. Many of Israel's difficulties came because the people failed to inquire of the Lord. And we see this in Joshua 9:14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Think about this. The Bible is a living, breathing book, full of knowledge. Many of our difficulties come because we don't inquire of the Lord. Say al. Remember, prayer is about relationship. We just sang Emmanuel, God is with us. Seek His counsel. And prayer is to be continuous throughout the day. We wake up and we pray. We pray as a couple. We pray as a family. We pray as a church. We pray at night and we pray throughout our day. We see in the Hebrew book of prayers called the Psalms that David consistently inquires of the Lord. We also see that an attitude of dependence is important to God. Isaiah 30:1-2 illustrates this point. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take the counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. God expects us to inquire of Him in prayer. A requirement of prayer is an understanding of our dependence on Him for all things. We are to ask for and receive all things as from Him. Give us this day our daily bread. And this refers to our physical need as well as our spiritual needs. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The Hebrew words ana and sema are related and mean to answer, or to respond, or to hear. The word has the meaning of humility and submitting oneself to God, as we read in Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river, Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and for our little ones and all our possessions. The word pega means to meet or encounter, and can also mean to use one's influence or to entreat. The meaning is intercession. I like that, to use one's influence. Have you ever thought about that? When you pray for somebody, maybe you're praying for a non-believer, you're using your influence with the God of the universe to intervene for this person's sake. You guys have some clout. This is the word used in Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Stop and consider this for just a second. Hundreds of years before Jesus was on the earth, the prophet was writing this. I don't know what the rabbis say about this verse. I mean, it's clear to us that this is talking about the Messiah. But this was breathed by God, telling us that Jesus poured out his soul unto death, that he bore the sin of many, and that he made intercession for us, the transgressors. So the question is, do you want to be included here? Well, if you do, then you better humble yourself and know that you're one of the transgressors. The Old Testament has a very extensive vocabulary when it comes to prayer. This made me think of Portlanders. You know, in Portland, they have 14 different names for rain, because rain is such an important part of their life. And in Alaska, they have many, many different words for snow, because snow is such an important part of their life. So we have all these words for prayer. It's a huge part of our lives. We need all these words. We see a dependency revealed between Israel and God. We see God caring for his people and acting to help them. The words for prayer used in the Greek New Testament help us to understand what prayer is from a different vantage point. And again, there's many words that are used in the New Testament for prayer. The hardest one to pronounce is prosoikomai. Prosoikomai means to pray or entreat and is used for prayer in general. This entreaty is addressed to God the Father or to Jesus the Son and is personal and specific. And variations of the word are found over 140 times in the New Testament. Another word is aiteo, which means to ask for or request. And this is the word used in Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Deomai is another word to ask or request, to beseech. It's used as specific requests to God or man. And the word emphasizes the existence of a need. The individual speaking is deeply aware of a personal need. And out of that need comes a cry for a specific help. One of our first things we need to acknowledge in prayer is our need for God. The cry for help may be addressed to Jesus or to the Father and is often uttered in intercession. So we see this need that somebody else has. This is the word used in Acts 8:24. Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." Erotao means to ask a question or to request. It's used 58 times in the New Testament and is often used of questions asked of Jesus, but is also used for intercessory prayer. This is the word used in 1 John 5:16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say he should pray about that. Entinkano is another word which means to intercede, and it occurs 5 times in the New Testament. And we are encouraged to be free to approach God with prayers and to know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to help us in our prayers. Prayer is an expression of fellowship between God and humans, made possible by Jesus. As Elijah taught us, we experience the Trinity as we pray. Jesus teaches us how to pray, and he also teaches us how not to pray in Matthew chapter 6. We read in verses 5 through 8, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And then Jesus teaches us how to pray. We are to adore God. We are to acknowledge His position in the heavens and the earth. He is Father and all-powerful. We must have an attitude of humility and submission to His will. We are to ask for God to supply our needs. I always think it's interesting when we think about what we really need. What do we need? We need some clothes. We need a place to lie down at night. We need a little bit of food and water. That's it. Everything else is a want. Ouch. Okay. Jesus teaches us to ask for forgiveness and to be forgiving. Okay. We all love to be forgiven, right? That's a great thing. Not so much that we love the forgiving part. And we have to pray for that gentle, forgiving heart that is full of grace, because we appreciate so much the grace of God that we have received. Jesus instructs us to pray in order to avoid temptation and to pray for delivery from the evil one. That's an interesting part of the prayer. You know why it's there? It's there because it has to be. It's there because Jesus told us it has to be. Well, if it's there, that means we have to pray it. Kind of interesting. Think about that. And finally, we must once again acknowledge the sovereignty of God. All power is His. All glory belongs to Him. We must remember whose kingdom this is. Almighty God's kingdom. We end with Amen. Now, I've been saying Amen, 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 however you want to say it, for 56 years now. But if you think about the word, it's a word of faith. It means, so be it. It shall be so. If you say that word at the end of your prayer and you mean it, that means what you prayed shall be so. So, that is, okay. So, Amen's a word of faith that God hears us and He answers us. This prayer sums up our relationship with our Father. We approach God as we would our Father on earth. Jesus teaches us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Because of Jesus, we can come to our Father in prayer. Hebrews 4:14-16 makes this clear to us. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, if we have only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son, that brings us back to our starting verse today. We need to maintain our continuing, intimate walk with Jesus to have a good prayer life. Jesus uses the image of the vine and the branches to express our dependence on Him. If there's no vine, there's no branch. And He says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Knowing His word and abiding in it shapes our personalities to fit with His values and His character. We come to a point where we are in such harmony with Jesus that what we wish is what God desires us to ask. We come humbly, we come selflessly, we come boldly in Christ, and we ask for God's will to be done in everything. Because the Holy Spirit lives within believers, He has a unique role in our prayer life. Paul teaches us in Romans 8:26-27 about this role. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Prayer is a continuous expression of relationship. We are told about Christians who are constantly praying in multiple verses in the New Testament, including Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. And also in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just as we talk with members of our family naturally and spontaneously, so we converse with God, who also shares our lives. Intercession for others is a major theme of prayer in the New Testament epistles. We have this deep relationship with God through prayer. In addition, our concern for others and their needs is a large part of our prayer life and ties us together in relationship as the church, as well as our relationship with God. Are there things that we do that make God not hear our prayers and not answer them? That's in the scripture. We'll look at it. So the Old Testament has verses that clearly teach us that disobedience, unconcern, and injustice are all unacceptable to God. So we see the Lord dealing with the nation Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting with verse 41. Then you answered and said to me, "We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us." And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, "Tell them, do not go up, nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and drove you back from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice or give ear to you." So sometimes we are directly disobedient, and sometimes we don't ask God's guidance in our lives. We must come to God with a humble and an obedient heart. God also doesn't tolerate unconcern, a lack of concern on our part. In Isaiah 58, you can read the whole chapter, it's a great one, but the prophet is teaching the nation why God does not listen to their prayers or take notice of their fasting. Starting at verse 6, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh?" And again we see in Isaiah chapter 1 that God will not hear our prayers if there is injustice in our lives. "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Those whose lives are marked by disobedience, unconcern, and injustice clearly do not live in fellowship with God. The people that are close to God are obedient, loving, and seek to do justice. Prayer is only important to those who are in a growing relationship with the Lord. Prayer without relationship is meaningless. The Bible is full of promises. Some of these relate to prayer. We've already read from Matthew 7 that those who seek, knock, and ask receive what they request. And we hold Matthew 18:19 near to our hearts. Jesus says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." We did this today, and we do it every day. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we identify with his character and his purpose. He teaches us in John 14:13-14, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." When we pray, we can be confident that God hears us and will answer us. Two final verses are from 1 John. Chapter 3:22 teaches us, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." When we are in a right relationship with God, obedient, concerned, seeking justice, then God hears our prayers. And then chapter 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." So the two big themes of the day: prayer is all about our relationship with God, and we are to pray continually. There we go.